Okay. My name is, and today I will be interviewing. Can I get your full name? Okay, Mr. I'm gonna assume that your sex is female, right?
Last time I checked, yes.
Okay. Ethnically, what do you identify as?
I identify as African American.
Okay. Year of your birth?
1992.
Okay. How many years in Atlanta have you lived?
7 years
in Atlanta. Was it any other places you live?
Outside of here within those 7 years.
Just anywhere in life.
Philly, Jersey. I spent a couple months in Florida. Not really nowhere major. I spent like 2 weeks in Baltimore. You know, regular shit.
Okay, cool. As far as education, what's the highest form of education for you?
1 year of college.
Okay.
That really didn't work out too well.
Got some college experience. All right, what about occupation?
Honestly, I'm a hustler. I really don't have an occupation. When you got two kids, you really can't have a set occupation. So, whatever. What I want to do, though, I'm trying to become a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what I want to do.
Yeah.
But.
Okay. Parents' birthplace.
My mother and my father were both born and raised in New Jersey.
What do they do for a living?
My mother has her master's in psychology, and my father is a scam artist.
Very, very interesting. Okay.
Imagine growing up with it.
Okay, well, I'm just going to kind of bounce around. Let me talk about some of this, some of that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about when you first got to Atlanta. Did you notice any difference between here and some other places you live?
How much time you got?
I got plenty.
Yeah, it's a big culture shock, especially when you were born and raised and you grow up a certain way and then you come to somewhere where it's the complete opposite. Yeah, it's definitely a culture shock, but mostly positive.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, it's definitely the place, like I said, the land of opportunity for our people anyway. For colored people, should I say. Not necessarily black, but just people who ain't white.
Mm-hmm.
Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, black people, you know, Muslims, all of that.
I dig that. What about, what is your thoughts on racism or just race-related type of...
No, you said it right the first time, racism. It exists. It's very real. And I'm black, so I'm naturally the target of it. I'm a black young female. So I had 3 strikes against me coming out the womb. But it strikes that I wear with pride. So it exists. It's real. It's very real here. Sadly, the shocking part for me, though, even though it is very real in the South, I've experienced less racism here than I have growing up where I grew up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Like, growing up where I grew up, different ethnicities were racist against each other. There were Chinese people that did not like black people. There are Puerto Rican people who do not like Mexicans. So coming here where it's like, no, white people don't like colored people. It has everything to do with being black, but it's not just being black. It's colored people. People who are not white are not welcome.
Wow. Okay.
And that's real. And I think once people get over the fact that get over the whole idea of trying to bring us all together and become one and make us all equal, or make us equal in their eyes. Once we get over that fact, then we'll be able to conquer this whole thing and get past it. But until then, as long as we're trying to become equal to them, we will always be in a struggle with them.
Mm. Very profound. Okay. Let's jump towards family information. Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I have two little sisters and now two little brothers.
Wow. Where do you rank as far as age between?
I am the oldest of everybody.
You're the oldest. Okay. Are you close to your siblings?
Very.
Okay. Do you have a favorite?
Yes. My younger sister. She is my favorite.
Why is she your favorite? Not everybody.
Because I've been so involved with her life since the day she was born that she was my kid before my kids was my kids. Shut up, Sparky! Sorry about that. Sorry about that. But, yeah, she's been my kid since before my kids were my kids. So that's my heart. But I love all of them just as much, but that's my baby.
Okay, cool, cool, cool. What about, are you close to any aunts, uncles, grandparents, cousins, extended family?
I do have a few aunts, and I say a few, literally, maybe two, that I am very, very close with. Cousins, very close with them, some of them, not all of them, but some of them. Basically, pretty much the ones that I grew up with. For the most part, I'm close with. Like I said, my aunts and uncles. My uncles, I grew up with them, so they raised me. But after I got a certain age, it kind of got shaky, which is natural. But for the most part, I love all my family. I love anybody who loves me.
G-ish. Okay. School days.
Whew.
Where did you go to school?
Which one? I went to...
Let's start with middle school.
I went to two different middle schools. Which were also culture shocks.
In Georgia?
I went to a couple schools here, but I grew up, like I said, in Jersey. So I went to school in Jersey. I went to a middle school. I went to two different middle schools. I went to a charter school, and then I went to a public middle school.
Okay, well... Just in a capsule between those two, how different was the charter school from the public school in Jersey?
Needless to say, I got kicked out of the charter school.
Okay.
And I had to go to the public school. But it was very different, and it was being ran by a white guy. And that's where the difference came in. Mm-hmm. It's hard to teach something to someone when you don't know anything about them. You can't teach me. You don't know me. How can you teach me? You can't teach me what you know because we don't know. We don't come from the same place. You're a Jewish white man. Mm-hmm. I'm a young black little girl. Mm-hmm. We don't have the same situation happening here. So it's hard for me to feel like I can look to you for guidance or education or anything else like that when I know for a fact you don't understand me. You don't know what it's like for me when I walk out of these doors. Just like I don't know what it's like for you when you walk out of these doors. So that played a big part in one of the reasons why I got kicked out. So once I got kicked out and I went to a predominantly colored school, mm-hmm. it was different.
Felt like the fact that they could relate more.
They understood. And it was funny because my teacher was a white man, but he spent all his life around African-American people. His wife was African-American. Mm-hmm. So... His father was African-American, so it wasn't like he was too far off base.
Hold on, who are we talking about again?
My teacher.
The white teacher.
The white teacher.
So how can he have a black father if he's a white teacher? Like, are we talking about biological?
Yeah, his biological father was white, but his biological father was black, but his mother was white.
He looked extra white.
He didn't look extra white, but he looked white. When you looked at him, you automatically thought white. You did not think, oh, he's black. Now, once you got close up on him, you probably be like, oh, okay, he got curly hair. His nose not like white people.
Yeah.
He ain't got green or blue eyes. His eyes is brown. You know what I'm saying? He got a little soul in his voice. Yeah, you could tell he grew up around black people, or somebody in his family somewhere is black. But when you look at him, he looks like a white man.
Oh, wow. Okay. You ever heard of a rapper named Logic?
Yes, and I love him. I just watched his performance on the VMAs.
I heard it was good. I didn't really check for him yet, but he definitely gave me that, oh, damn, I could have sworn bro was white, but he's really black.
No, he's not. He's not white. He's black and Jewish.
Very, very interesting. I know we can dive more deeply into that very, very soon. So, how far was the schools from your crib?
The charter school was, I want to say, about 30, 35 minutes a drive. But the public school was a walk, literally. It was around, literally around the corner. Like, I could walk up one block and hit a corner and hit another corner, and I was at school.
Okay. Did you usually walk? Or?
Yeah, I walked every day.
Did you have a little crew with you when you walked?
Absolutely. No, I didn't need a crew when I walked. Did I have a crew at school? Yeah, but I didn't need a crew.
Just for walking, you didn't need that. Cool.
I was good. Money.
Okay. Let's see. Since you said something about your crew, what did y'all do together?
Get into a whole lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I was a horrible child. I tell my mother every day, God bless her, and I love her for putting up with me, because I was the worst.
You seem like you know your definitions of word. Why would you use the word horrible?
Because I was that kid that, you know how you had that kid growing up in school that your parents be like, stay away from them? I was that kid. And my mom, well, if I could call my mother right now, if she wasn't at work, she would tell you no. I used to have to get into verbal, borderline physical altercations with people because they just swore they knew my child and would tell their children to stay away from my child. And she was nothing like that. I was a different person at school and outside in the streets than I was to my mother at home.
Mm-hmm. You think Sparky want to come in?
No, he barking at whoever's walking past. Shut up!
Okay. It almost sound like Greta yelling out like that.
Because grandma be trying to watch her stories and get some peace, and he be barking at nobody for no goddamn reason. Shut your ass up, nigga.
Are you talking to me?
That's exactly what he came down and said for, like, who?
So this particular crew of people, how did you guys meet?
They tried to fight me.
Wow. That's interesting.
It was two girls, mm-hmm. one boy, who's gay, mm-hmm. and one Puerto Rican girl.
Okay.
And the two girls were twins, and tried to fight me.
Damn, so were you thinking already in back of your mind, if I gotta fight one twin, I probably gotta fight the other one?
No, I told them, I whooped both of y'all ass. What's up?
And who won?
They didn't want to fight me.
They didn't want to fight you, they wanted to be best friends with you after that. Wow, that's cool. Do you still talk to any one of them to this day?
Or? Mm-hmm. I just wrote on Facebook 2 days ago.
That's cool. That's very, very cool.
Real recognize real. And people are going to give respect to those who demand it, not who ask for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what about your crew now? How did you meet your crew now that you hang with?
I met them through a mutual friend.
Okay.
It was at a time, not too long ago, but it was at a time when we were really just really effed up in the streets. And after being surrounded by so many messed up, bad people your whole life, you kind of have that urge to just be surrounded by people who just are on the same shit you on, who just want the same things out of life you want. And she introduced me to everybody, you included, and we all just clicked. And I haven't been rocking with nobody else but y'all. So that's pretty much how that went.
So, what do you do on a typical weekend?
Honestly, my typical weekend involves me just chilling. I'm not a club kind of person. I don't really feel the need or the urge to go out. I might go to somebody's house, kick it, watch a game, or somebody's eating, cooking out or something like that. But, you know, grown people shit. I really don't do too many clubs. I think maybe I went to a club maybe 2 weekends ago, And that was my first time going to a club in years.
Wow, slow. So, just to double back on the family aspect, do you have any memories of traditions growing up in your family?
Thanksgiving. Okay. Thanksgiving was a huge, huge tradition in my family. Everybody got together at grandma's house, and I mean everybody, aunts, uncles, twice removed, once removed, people who just been in the family for years, cousins I haven't seen in forever. Everybody came to grandma's house in Jersey, and she would turn the whole garage into a buffet and cook and all that other stuff, and we drinking and we playing dominoes, somebody playing dominoes in this room, somebody playing cards in the other room. My uncles is out back playing dice. Thanksgiving was the thing. That was the time where everybody caught up with each other, everybody linked up, seen family members they ain't seen in years, all of that. Thanksgiving was definitely a tradition.
I dare that. We'll hear more about stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's some of everybody family.
Thanksgiving is, that was the main event. Like, we would plan in the beginning of year for Thanksgiving, because it was like, who's coming? How many bedrooms do we need? How many blow mattresses? How many rooms do we need to rent out? How many turkeys we need to get? How much food we need to get? It was definitely an event.
Who was chefing it up in the family?
Grandma,
all the way.
That's it. No one else. Don't bring nothing. No, you can't bring no dish. No, I don't need your help in this kitchen. Nothing. Yeah. Okay, Grandma. Grandma threw it down. That was it. You just come and you eat.
Plan on keeping those traditions alive in your family?
With my family?
Mm-hmm.
If I can, I will try, but me and my family, we don't have the closest dynamic in the world now, so.
Or your new family whenever.
My family, yeah. Now, like, my new family, the people, I consider all of y'all my family, so now will I keep that type of tradition alive with my family? Hell yeah. Thanksgiving is definitely popping at my house this year.
Okay, I dig that. So, for the majority of your family lives in Jersey, or is they scattered out throughout
the U.S.? The majority of my family, yeah, is pretty much scattered all around the East Coast. But as far as my immediate family, they're here. Mm-hmm. My mom, my stepdad, my little brothers, they're here.
Let's see. I'm gonna get it so we can talk more about some Atlanta stuff. So, the first neighborhood or just area you came to when you was here?
Off of Road. Over there on in Ellenwood, Georgia.
Well, no, Ellenwood, Georgia. Okay. Mm-hmm. What was the dynamic out there?
Depressing.
Why?
Because when you come from somewhere that's so active and you come to somewhere that's so secluded, it's a shock, especially as a young child. Or not even as a young child, as a teenager who's used to living their life a certain way, used to seeing certain things and hearing certain things. And then you come to somewhere where across the street, instead of it being a grocery store, I mean, instead of being a corner store or a laundromat or whatever, it's nothing but trees.
The convenience stripped away, you know,
automatically.
It wasn't as many people around, or at least people you would want to
be. It was
around.
The neighborhood. It was the cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
And that's all it was. And that was, like I said, a culture shock. I'll never forget when we pulled up on our way. I didn't know when we were pulling into the neighborhood. I did not know that we were pulling into the neighborhood. I thought that we were still on the main road to get to wherever we were going. So when we stopped the truck, I thought we were at a truck stop somewhere rest or whatever. Yeah. And then I get out the car, and the next thing I know, I see my mom and my dad, and everybody's getting out the truck. And I'm like, why are we all stopping here? And they were like, this is it. And I'm like, what's it? They're like, no, this is where we're living. Who's living here? Where's the stores? Where's the buses? Where's the cabs? Where's the trains? Where's the noise? Where's the sidewalks? Where's the sidewalks? There's no sidewalks here.
Wow.
So it was, like I said, it was definitely an adjustment, for sure.
Did it seem safer in that environment than opposed to the one before?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Safer in the sense of when you're up north, whatever's going on, you see it. If there's drugs being sold, you see it. Police riding by, helicopters, fire department, crackheads outside screaming, arguing with each other, drunks on the corner, yelling, smashing bottles, all of that. You see it, you hear it. It's directly in front of your face. It cannot be avoided. Mm-hmm. Down here, you don't see that. There is no crackheads on the corner. There is no winos walking up and down the block. There isn't that. Mm-hmm. Now, in that aspect, yes, it did seem safer, but like I said, that's the beauty and the beast of being here. Because just because you don't see it, that don't mean it ain't happening.
Yeah,
you just like don't see it.
Pull your ass off in the woods and
that's it.
Get the business.
That's yeah, it.
Definitely. I know I hear that a lot from North people.
Listen. I was like, oh, it's great down here. It's safe. It's peaceful. This is that. And lo and behold, between 3 to 6 months of me first moving here, somebody found a girl in the woods maybe 2 minutes from where I was living. So I was just like, oh, okay, so they get it popping down here. They just don't get it popping in front of your face. But it's going down. And then once I got to get out and explore the neighborhood that I was in more, I realized, like, oh, no. Y'all got the shits. Y'all just covered it up with trees and grass and really nice houses.
Mm-hmm. So, as far as dialect, can you, I'm going to let you say it because I'm going to think it's obvious, but do you feel like it's a difference between the Jersey and the Atlanta dialect?
Yes.
Okay. And can you tell if somebody is from Jersey just by the way they talk?
Yes.
You can tell if somebody's from Atlanta just by the way they talk?
Absolutely.
Okay, what are some of the unique words from Jersey that people use?
John.
John?
J-A-W-N. John.
Okay, John, what that mean?
The thing. That place. I'm about to go to the John.
Oh, like the John.
Or,
okay.
Remember that John I left at your house? Or, okay. Hey, yo, remember that John that we passed that day? Remember that John that we walked past that day and she stopped and said, John is a universal word.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So that's something that y'all don't use. Y'all don't say John.
Never heard that one before, but it sounds right coming from you.
Or you lacking right now.
You lacking.
Or okay. You diddy bopping.
Hold on. What is diddy bopping? That's the
that
same
means you on some other shit. That means you, that means you tweaking.
Okay, you tweaking.
You feel what I'm saying? That's bopping. A southern word. Tweaking.
Okay.
That's y'all. You tweaking right now, bro.
Tweaking.
Well, maybe that might be Jersey. That's something that I say. You tweaking right now, or you bugging? You wilding out.
Bugging, wilding.
You illing right now, like. The fuck is going on? You got like you want some other shit. Like that's basically what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Down here is shot tripping. Bro on some other shit.
Bro on some other stuff.
Yeah.
Tripping. Okay. Nah, that's a great point.
Down here it's more of phrases.
I wanna hear what you feel is some of the phrases and words as far as in Atlanta.
Bro, what the fuck you got going on?
Okay.
When somebody says something to someone, like I hang out with a lot of males.
Okay.
So when I hear men talk to each other, I can pretty much guess, especially down here, I can pretty much guess off the top of my head what they're going to say next. And usually whatever they're saying, everybody else is about to say the same thing. So everybody else busts out laughing like, bro, I was about to say the same damn thing, bro. What the fuck you got going on, bro? Shawty, you tripping. Shit like that.
Yeah, you slick a little ATM.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, so I could turn it on and turn it off, but it's, like I said, it's phrases straight like that. Y'all are more of phrases as we have words.
Okay.
We can say one word and it means exactly what we're talking about from Jersey to Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Now here, y'all can say a phrase.
But the way you say it.
But the way you say it, you know exactly what the person is talking about.
Okay.
Like, if somebody say, hey, bro, what you doing? Oh, nothing. Just kicking shit. You know exactly what they're doing. They either chilling at the house, or if they say, I'm just kicking shit with Shawty, they chilling somewhere with their girl.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask Jersey, yo, what you got going on, homie? Nothing, cooling in the crib. That means I'm chilling with my girl. It's the same thing, but y'all say it a different way.
You got any funny stories of about language or whatever?
Yes.
Okay.
So when I first moved down here, like I said, I moved into a neighborhood. So you got to get to know everybody in the cul-de-sac. That's another Georgia thing. Y'all get to know y'all neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Like up north, if we see somebody pulling in the neighborhood, we like, who the fuck is that? Down here, y'all see somebody pulling in the neighborhood, y'all even pay attention. Y'all like, oh, that's such a, you live up the street. I've been here for like 20 years. I went to school with this kid. Like, some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first moved down here, I was getting to know everybody in the neighborhood, and I never forget him. I still talk to him to this day. His name was called him.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to smoke a lot of weed and sip a lot of drink at one point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So I would catch the first word and the last word of everything he said. And I could never understand what he said. It was like as if he just blended all the words into one long-ass word.
Oh, wow.
So I used to be like, I used to literally have to tap my homie and be like, yo, what'd he say?
Oh, wow.
And they'd be like, no, what he said was he was about to go over here and pick up this person, and then he was going to come back over here.
Mm-hmm.
And or whatever, you know what I'm saying? That's what he said. And he's like, oh, okay, cool.
Oh, wow. See, I haven't been in that situation.
But after, like I said, after being here for a couple years, it starts to register.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, now I know what he's talking about. But when I first got down here, I was like, bro, just sound like he just said a bunch of different, like, he just sounded like he just mumbled. He said the first word and the last word, and everything else in between was just one big-ass mumble. Like, and this is when he was sober. I used to be like, what did he just say? Did he just call me a bitch? And they like, nah, he ain't call you a bitch. He ain't call you a bitch. He just said the word bitch, but he ain't call you a bitch. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Now, we, on the way here, we was listening to the radio, and that Racks on Racks came on.
Yes.
When it first came out, I didn't even understand what the hell Future was talking about.
I did.
Through that whole song. That's cool that you did.
I had to read the lyrics, though. I'm not going
to
lie to you.
You had to read
I had
the
to look up the lyrics.
To really clearly understand.
I had to look up the lyrics. I had to. I'll never forget it because I remember going on YouTube and be like, yo, this song goes so hard.
Snap.
I need to figure out what he's saying because I know he's saying something worth saying. So when I figured out the lyrics, I was just like, oh, yeah, I fucks with this song.
Sounds so clear to me now, but back then
it was just like, what? But that's come from years of listening to Future and understanding his lingo to the point where you know what he's saying now.
No, definitely. Let's see. What games did you play? I guess either amongst yourself or with your friends or whatever.
What do you mean, like here or there?
Yeah. Games in particular.
See, I grew up really rough. So, the girls that I hung out with act like boys, and then I hung out with boys. So, we didn't play the kitty games, the hide and go seek. We slap boxing. You feel what I'm saying? We teaching each other how to shoot dice. We playing checkers. We doing shit like that. That's like, we're not really playing hide and go seek or
mm-hmm.
tic tac toe or double dutch. That was the shit.
Okay.
We did that.
Double dutching out.
Yeah, but yeah, double dutch, stuff like that. Hopscotch, we definitely did hopscotch. We put our own little spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
We played four quarters, a lot of basketball, a lot of volleyball. But yeah, I hung out with mostly boys. So it was like I was really wasn't into the let's play a game thing. It was more like, let's get into some shit. Like,
I dig it. Didn't you say you had a little hooping career for a second?
Yeah, I did. I just loved doing it. It really wasn't nothing. I did not sign up for the team in basketball or nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
That really wasn't my thing. My mom is amazing at the sport, and she loves the sport, and it made me love the sport. So I like playing for fun. I like watching it. But as far as me joining a team, that was never really my thing. Only team that I joined was a football team.
And, wow, okay.
Yeah.
You got a favorite team?
Basketball?
Either sport, NFL, football, baseball.
I have to say, soccer. Even though I know they're probably going to choke at some point in time this year, I bleed green. I love the Eagles. Okay. I can't help it. My grandfather was a huge, ginormous fan of the Jets and the Giants. He loved the New York Giants. Loved the New York Giants. Basketball, I pretty much don't have a specific team. I'm more of a players type because now it's like, well, I'm lying. I love the Golden Warriors. Golden Gate Warriors.
You close enough. Golden State Warriors.
Whatever. Whatever they are. But I don't do teams. I love Steph Curry. Yes. That is my dude. Like do you Kevin hear what Durant. I'm saying? Kevin dude. Durant, that's my the Holy Trinity. I love all three of them. Yeah. But I love Steph Curry. And I love Steph Curry long before he won. Yeah. I mean, I was a Steph Curry fan. I was a Steph Curry fan long before he won, long before any of all these other people started wearing yellow and blue and white. No, I was a fan of him. I loved him long before all of this happened. So I'm more of a players fan. I love LeBron. I love Kevin. I love Dwayne. I love Bosh. I love all of them. Like, I'm more of a players type of person. I'm not really a team anymore. Like, I'm glad that the team won that had my favorite player on it, though, but I'm more of a player type. I don't really like teams anymore.
I mean, shit, players don't even like teams no more. They're switching up.
You see what's going on between Durant and LeBron right now. Like, it ain't even about the team no more. It's about the individual player at this point.
Yeah.
So, I'm more of a players fan. I'm not more of a team fan. But NFL, I'm more of a team fan. And I love the Eagles to death.
I dig that. Did you catch the solar eclipse the other day?
Yes, I did.
Did you look at it without the glasses?
Yes, I did.
How is your eyes feeling today?
Amazing.
Okay, amazing.
People think they can't do things just because they don't. If you train your body to get used to something, you'll be able to build up a tolerance for it. Just like people say, I don't drink, but you see everybody else is drinking. Why? Because they built up a tolerance for it. I'm pretty sure at one point in time they didn't drink either. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it has nothing to do with really. You can, as Black people, we have a lot of power. And I know this sounds really cheesy, but we have a lot of power. There are things that we can do that other cultures, other beings cannot do. And for them to say, be careful of the sun. Don't look into the sun because it might hurt your eyes. The fuck with your eyes. We are sun people. You feel what I'm saying? So you telling me not to look into the sun because I'm going to go blind? That sounds stupid. My ancestors, where I come from, we are sun people. Why can't I look into the sun? Don't stare at it for 3 hours or 30 minutes, but you can look up at the eclipse.
Wow, okay. I've really kept my black ass inside. I missed out on the wonderfulness of something.
It's a shadow. It's a big-ass global shadow. It's not really that big of a deal. I mean, the fact, only reason people make such a big deal is because it happens every bajillion years, but it ain't nothing but a worldwide big-ass shadow.
That's how I pretty much felt about it.
You want to see eclipse? Hell, go outside around this time. That's exactly what it feels like.
Pretty much. I want to say that they said it's supposed to be another one coming in a few years.
In a few years? We got a problem. If there's another one coming, we got more to worry about than the eclipse.
Nah, definitely.
If another one comes in a few years, I'm not going outside. That's okay. It. I'm with you. We're going to be, our black ass is going to be inside in a motherfucking house.
That's not natural.
Yeah, it ain't.
That's not right. Okay. All right. This probably be the last follow-up question before I have you read maybe one or two passages.
That's cool.
Suppose you wanted to go out to a restaurant or a movie or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Where might you go?
Restaurant, that's hard because all the food here is so damn good. Like, Lord, it's so hard to pick one place to eat here because it's like, there's so many places I could go get so good, such good food. And there's so many amazing things to see here. That's the difference between Atlanta, or Georgia in itself and other places, is so much here. It's so much to offer here if people just really look at it. Don't look at it for what it is. Look at it like Georgia has a lot of culture. Atlanta has a lot of culture in it. It's a lot of different races and different artists with a lot of things to offer. So going to a dinner and a movie, that's considered boring nowadays. Now it's like going for drinks and going to an art exhibit. Like, just not too long ago, me and my boyfriend, we went to a thing called Sip and Stroke in Atlanta, where apparently you drink and you get taught how to paint. Like, that's the normal thing to do now. You know what I'm saying? Then we went to the Ferris wheel afterwards. Like, that's the normal thing to do now. What?
I'm tripping.
Bruh.
I bet it's awesome, too.
That's another Atlanta word. Georgia, bruh. I used to hate it. Now I use it like every other sentence. Bruh. Yeah. Bruh, yeah. That's y'all. I don't care what nobody say. That is y'all. That bruh.
They had the bruh. I know everybody got their own type of way with the bruh.
Nah. Y'all created, patented, and trended the bruh. No one else. And I don't care what nobody else said. People were saying bro, not bruh. Nobody was saying bruh until one of y'all from here said bruh. That's when it became contagious. But everybody was saying bro.
And the females started doing it.
But I noticed that once the females started doing it, that's when y'all stopped. Like,
no, I mean, we kept saying it, but
But y'all don't say it now. When females say it, y'all be like,
we get upset when females say
it. Is that a boy? No, then why are you calling her bruh?
Nah, but that bruh definitely can be perfect for a lot of scenarios.
Bruh.
I deliver it there. Okay.